Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 4:19 p.m. and that is Central Time, and today is August 23rd. Well, Nvidia has reported their quarterly earnings, and it was surprising for Wall Street, so better than expected, and the share jumped 10%, and that is almost exactly in line with what the options market had been pricing in. So certainly there's continued enthusiasm around the share, and it's now well in excess of a valuation of $1 trillion, and continuing to improve upon that performance. Now, the share is up from about 100 to 500 in the space of less than a year. So we've had a strong performance so far this year, but the share had declined quite significantly all the way through 2022 and now is just exploding on the upside. Now, the price to sales ratio is at an extraordinary level, and nobody cares because the reality is that Nvidia is the go-to share for the artificial intelligence mania. And there isn't a lot of point in talking about what it can and cannot do. Rather, investors all over the world are rushing to take a piece of it. And additionally, what is happening right now is that everyone wants to ensure that they have an AI strategy. One thing that I thought was especially interesting and probably a good barometer of how interesting everything is, or everyone is, in artificial intelligence is when I sent out the survey asking people about the chart library and views on the service about 2 months ago. About, I'm going to say, between 5 and 10% of the respondents asked about an artificial intelligence way of using the chart library. Now that's, and I've had. And believe it or not, I've had questions like this. I had people from quant funds coming to the chart library or chart seminar about a decade ago and asking exactly the same question. But what I find especially interesting now is that the rest of the world seems to have cottoned on to that. So I didn't think that it was going to be very easy to talk to or try to educate an artificial intelligence system to look for acceleration or to look for a loss of momentum or to look at massive reactions against the prevailing trend. And that's exceptionally difficult to define in mathematical terms. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it is hard. And I don't know that anyone has actually accomplished it. But it's not something that I'm going to stop attempting to do either. But the more important point here is that the share continues to move on the upside. And what we've also saw in here today was that there was a significant downgrade in the number of jobs created. So we had bonds starting to rally. And it wasn't just the 30-year where we had a reasonable upward dynamic to break the very short-term bias on the downside and confirm support in the region of the October lows, but that it was a phenomenon that we saw right across the globe. So gilt futures were also on the upside in here, and so were bunds. So we've had a fairly pronounced rebound right across the bond futures markets. And then, when we look at the 2-year yield in the USA, well, it contracted by about 8 basis points, so hovering here around the 5% level, and certainly some support coming through for bonds around this. It does look increasingly likely that this is a topping formation here. But of course, then the big question is what's going to happen for the interest rate environment more generally? That when we think about why have stocks rebounded so emphatically in here today, it's because bonds were a bit stronger. And that implied that the Federal Reserve and indeed the ECB are going to pause in their interest rate hiking cycle because growth in the EU isn't keeping pace either. And then you have this mania in the artificial intelligence sector. So when we look then at the performance of the eight companies, are the eight mega cap companies relative to the total market cap of the NYSE, It's back in the region of the upper side of its range. And so far, this has been a pretty orderly consolidation above the previous range. Now, just looking at the chart, it looks like there's potential for additional upside here and that this is an orderly consolidation. It also helps to highlight that 24% of the entire market cap of the US markets is occupied by eight companies. And that looks like it is going to go higher. Now, I think it's also reasonable to conclude that this bull market is not going to end until the ability of those eight companies to continue to outperform in such a robust manner ends. And that's not apparent quite yet, despite the fact that interest rates have gone up so much already. Now, of course, we also have Jackson Hole coming up at the end of this week. So then we'll see what central bankers from around the world have to say. But it's obvious then that we're in a mania phase right now, where good news on the AI front is being greeted by great enthusiasm in the markets. But then it's also, I think, worth highlighting how narrow the breadth has become, because we can look at, for example, at the ARK Innovation ETF, which did spectacularly well in 2020 and really hasn't moved at all in the last few weeks. Now, it is steadying here in the region of the 200-day moving average, so at least that is suggestive that we could have some recovery underway. Then the Renaissance IPO ETF has got an almost identical chart pattern, although the numbers are a little different, and it is also beginning to steady in the region of that 200-day moving average. Now, some parts of the IPO market are doing rather well, and VinFast Auto has been one of the standouts because it's got this wonderful coincidence of prices where it had 84 million in sales and it has a market cap of 84 billion. To say that it has gone up a lot is a bit of an understatement, and the potential for extraordinary volatility looks to be quite clear. But then let's look at that volatility on the wider market. The VIX index had been steadying over the last couple of days, but it pulled back today in from the region of the 200-day moving average. So it's at least beginning to, I think, take some of the wind out of the bearish argument. So I'm considering what to do with my NASDAQ short. But I think I'll wait for a day just to see what the full 24-hour response is to the outlook for Nvidia. But we've had a pretty impressive rebound from several of the other mega cap companies. So Microsoft is firming from the region of the 200-day moving average, and it's been up now for about four consecutive days. So then there's the potential here that we might just be in for a consolidation between approximately 300 and 350. And then Amazon and Netflix have also continued to push on the upside in here. We've had a consolidation and some weaker action on Meta over the last few days, but it was in positive territory in here today. And Netflix bounced from the lower side of its range, although it didn't quite hold all of the move today. And then Tesla, with the promise of the Cybertruck being delivered, is also starting to steady here from the region of the 200-day moving average. That's also quite positive action. So then let's look at the Dow Jones, because it hasn't been a real center for activity over the last few weeks, because it's mostly companies that aren't growing their dividends as quickly as yields have been rising. But with bond yields starting to moderate, then that did lend some support to the index, and it has so far been able to hold the breakout from this range that persisted between November and July. But that means that it really does need to hold the 34,000 point level. Then, what I thought was interesting today was the divergence in performance between the market in China and in Hong Kong. So the A-share index was down over 1% and hit a new closing low, and the Hang Seng was up. Of course, there is the additional complication that the Hong Kong dollar is tied to the dollar. Hong Kong deploys US interest rates, and the index is quite oversold in the short term. Any promise that interest rates might pause or that the dollar might weaken, that would be really quite benign from the perspective of the Hong Kong market. And there is, of course, also the potential that China will eventually deploy stimulus. But if I think the general consensus is that whenever that stimulus comes, it's not going to be in the order of magnitude that we've seen in the past. So I think the easiest way to monitor how that is being priced is copper. And copper prices were in positive territory in here today. Certainly some enthusiasm around the potential for stimulus coming through from China. Now, when we then contrast what's happening with the Chinese market with what's happening in India, well, India just landed their lunar module on the south pole of the moon, and that is in sharp contrast to their performance a few years ago, where it blew up, and Russia's failure to do the same thing earlier this week. Now, the Nifty index is continuing to firm here, and this has been a really quite mild process of consolidation. And the Bombay Banks index, which is so often a leader in terms of performance for the Indian market, is firming in a reasonably dynamic manner from the region of that 200-day moving average. India is one of the clearest beneficiaries of increasing stress between the USA and China. And with such a large young population, then manufacturing will find its way to the lowest cost of labor. And it really just takes a change in terms of the governance and the willingness to support economic activity. The question of governance is certainly being explored too by Ray Dalio, and he had a rather interesting article yesterday talking about faith in truth and the unwillingness of an increasingly large number of people to believe what is preferred to them by the media, or that they only believe certain kinds of media. Now, of course, that's problematic, and faith in institutions is declining. Now, that implies that governance in the US markets is declining, and declining standards of governance are problematic. So if we are willing to hold emerging markets to the standards of governance, it only makes sense that we hold developed markets to the same standards of governance. And an independent judiciary is certainly something that's important. And one would hope that when you have an independent judiciary, that they're not going to be partisan. But that's a risk one takes. One would hope that there is respect for minority shareholder interests, and that one can pursue one's or transgressions in an independent court system. And then, of course, it's also nice to have an independent or free press. But of course, in many countries, the business model of the press is to be as partisan as possible and forget or to give up on trying to appeal to the general population and instead appeal to a minority and capture that entire market. And that's certainly been the business model for the media since the demise of print media. But I think when we think about India, Then there is an independent judiciary and there is a free press. Now, are they as partisan as we have in other parts of the world? Well, I think that's arguable. But it's a very different environment in China, where there is no question of a free press or an independent judiciary, and respect for minority shareholder interests only go as far as whether they're in the interests of the Communist Party or not. And then, of course, that means that there should be an additional risk premium put on a market. And I think that it is reasonable to put an additional risk premium on the US market as a result of the political polarization and because of the significant doubts around the integrity of the next election, where there is going to be, I think, very substantial efforts to try and paint whatever the result is, regardless of who wins, as being unfair. That's a really significant issue, and the country is going to have to deal with it. Now, the dollar index has paused in the region of the 200-day moving average, and this is the first tentative evidence that the sequence of lower rally highs is going to be sustained. And gold prices immediately rebounded on that news and closed back above the $1,900 area. Well, I sold out of my gold positions at the end of last week, and I may just buy some of them back if this rebound holds through the rest of tomorrow. One encouraging factor is that silver prices are leading on the upside, and we're up in a fairly dynamic manner in here today as well. So bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average in a pretty convincing manner. So I think it is worth just considering that what we're seeing right now is a more outsized jump in precious metal prices in response to what was, by and large, a fairly muted performance of the dollar index. But what we have seen was that the dollar was quite a bit weaker versus several currencies. So the Mexican peso remains in a clear trend, and a really quite consistent trend of outperformance relative to the US dollar. And the Brazilian real has also begun to find support once more, and on this occasion in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So that's really quite encouraging. And then the Singapore dollar has also started to steady here in the region of the 1,000-day moving average as well, where we've started to see some weakness coming through from some currencies is in the Philippines, and the peso is at a new or is breaking out really on the downside, and the Filipino market has also really stood out for its underperformance here. So, when we have an environment where the majority of markets have steadied up, when we see one that is underperforming in a big way, then certainly that needs to be considered. And then the standout performance in Europe is in Denmark. And I put up the wrong one. That's the regional banks index. The Copenhagen 20 has bounced really quite emphatically, having had that big jump 3 weeks ago. It has steadied once more, and this is very clearly tied to the performance of Novo Nordisk. There's in an environment where we have higher interest rates overall and a mania developing within the technology sector, then the promise of an obesity drug that might actually work is something that stands apart in from the interest rate cycle, and the share continues to accelerate on the upside. And this could be driven by quite substantial appreciation. The one thing that I think is quite clear is that when people use the drug, they lose weight. When they stop using the drug, they put it back on. So that's the kind of cash flow generating business that investors really tend to like, and the share continues to accelerate on the upside. Now, when we think about the wider trend of governance overall, well, this is becoming progressively more important because as interest rates rise and the debt issues of various governments become into focus, and the difficulties that the younger generation have in finding places to live and then affording the rents after the surge in rental properties that we've had over the last couple of years, then the trend of governance is going to be become progressively more political. And on the one hand, you have pessimism, particularly from people like Ray Dalio, that this could turn into a civil war type situation. Or we have to think, or we have to at least consider that perhaps democracy, liberal democracy, is new, and that it's not being practiced in the same way on this occasion as it has been tried throughout history, and that there might be a self-correcting mechanism, and that we will eventually come into a more enlightened democratic ideal. But there's nobody under any illusion that it's going to be easy. And I think we're going to be exploring these kinds of discussion in the economic and political sphere for the foreseeable future. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.